जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी। यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी। यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट 45। ततोऽग्निमारुतौ राजन् अमुञ्चन् मुखतो रुषा महिं निर्वीरुधं कर्तुं संवर्तक इवात्यते ततो अग्निमारुतौ राजन् अमुञ्चन् मुखतो रुषा महीं निर्वीरुधं कर्तुं संवर्तक इवात्यते संवर्तक इवात्यये ततोऽग्निमारुतौ राजन् Ladies, please. Tatogni Maruta Rajan Amunchan Mukhato Rusha Mahim Nirvirudham Kartum Samvartaka Ivatyaye ततोऽग्नि मारुतौ राजन् अमुञ्चन् मुखतो रुषा महीं निर्विरुधं कर्तुं संवर्तक इवात्यये ततः thereafter अग्नि फायर मारुतौ एंड एयर राजन् ओ किंग Amunchan, they emitted, Mukhataha, from their mouths, Rusha, out of anger, Mahim, the earth, Nirvirudham, treeless, Kartum, to make, Samvartakaha, the fire of devastation, Eva, like, Atyaye, at the time of devastation. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear king, at the time of devastation, Lord Shiva emits fire and air from his mouth out of anger. To make the surface of the earth completely treeless, the Prachetas also emitted fire and air from their mouths. Purport. In this verse, Vidura is addressed as Rajan, which means, O King. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that a Dhira never becomes angry because he is always situated in devotional service. Advanced devotees can control their senses. Therefore, a devotee can be addressed as Rajan. A king controls and rules in various ways among citizens. Similarly, one who can control his senses is the king of his senses. He is a Swami or Goswami. The Swamis and Goswamis are therefore sometimes addressed as Maharaja or King. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಶ್ರೀಲ ಜೀವ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಇಫ್ ವಿ ಕೆನ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಹೌ ಆರ್ ವೈ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ಪುಟ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ರೆಲ್ಮ್ ದೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಈಸಿ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಟ್. ಯು ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಆರ್ contrary to the very thing that brought us to this material realm. So Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita raga dvesha. Of course, he's describing in the sense of the positive way of how to get out of this condition. Raga dvesha vimukta istu. That a person who can be freed from attachment and envy. Attachment, or we say it in a broader sense, the enjoyment tendency. One is attached to his conceptions, one is attached to the idea that happiness exists in this material world, etc. And dvesha is they cannot tolerate anyone else enjoying. So this is what actually brings us here. A conviction that in this material world, by material activities, I can become very happy. By having a material body, the facilities of material body, ahara, nidra, bhaya, maithunam cha, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. If I can pursue this nicely, if I can refine it nicely and nicely, that is enjoyment. The abilities that I have, the intelligence, the capacity to consider, to envision, to plan, to execute, if I can utilize all of these to refine my eating, sleeping, mating and defending, I will be very happy. And oh, by the way, while I'm busy at that, if someone else is doing a very good job of it, I become upset. I become restless. That means the whole of material life, one is busy looking at someone else as to how are they doing? And how am I doing in comparison to them? This is called in the US, keeping up with the Joneses. So we're always looking, what do they have? What do I have? Do I have more or less? If I have less, I've got to work harder. If I have more, I have to work harder to show it off. And if I have more, I have to work even harder because others are also trying to catch up. So I have always to be better. Because if I'm not better, it is an indication. If I have less than others, then something I'm doing is not correct. Why is it that fellow earns less but enjoys more than me? Something's not right. I need to readjust this whole thing. Maybe I need to take more debt and just pay off later or something. You know, different foolish ideas. But the constantly, the person is busy in raga dvesha, raga dvesha, raga dvesha. Mostly dvesha, but raga dvesha. Attachment, severely attached to the idea that in this material world there is happiness. All the countless sages have told us, Are Prabhu, that is not true. And you say, well, they're losers. They're cop-outs. They very easily give up responsibility in society and they think that there is no happiness. Look at me, I am very soon going to be very happy. All I have to do is just a little, adjustment. I'm working on my promotion. I get more money and it's all going to work out. This is the foolishness. And this is why the mind is always restless. And such a person who is restless is called adhira. A person who is not agitated is called dhira. We say sober. Dhira means that person who is not disturbed when there is cause for disturbance. A person who does not get disturbed when there is no cause for disturbance, that's not dhira at all. I mean, that's just normal. Dhira is a very special category of person who is not disturbed in the middle of disturbances. Often people get disturbed by nothing, or in fact by everything. The weather is bad, I'm disturbed. It's too windy, I'm disturbed. It's warm, I'm disturbed. If I sit down, I'm disturbed. If I walk, I'm disturbed. If I look at you, I'm disturbed. If I don't look at you, I'm disturbed. If I look at myself, I'm disturbed. If I'm not disturbed for 5 minutes, I'm disturbed. Something's not right. What's going on? Today, is everything all right? This is an abnormal state. I'm feeling actually peaceful. Is that all right? We ask others, is that all right? Are you feeling peaceful today? Yeah, it's peaceful. What must be wrong? What's going on? I should be working hard. What's going on? Why am I peaceful? Actually, peace is something that I get when I retire. What is going on? This is not right. Something's not. So they get agitated because they're peaceful. So dhira is a person that regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation, regardless of what's happening, is undisturbed. But this is not an ordinary state. Although Krishna begins Bhagavad Gita for dhiras, so dhiras tatra na muhyati. That means the whole of spiritual life is, I should say this, the whole of sadhana bhakti is aimed at becoming a dhira. Because only after we become dhiras can we consider what is really there in devotional service. Prabhupada describes the first stage of human development is called dhira. First stage of human development is called dhira stage. The highest form of human development is called narottam stage. So to become dhira is the first level. It's like 101, Krishna consciousness 101. Because that's where Bhagavad Gita begins. Dhiras tatra na muhyati. And one may ask, how to become a dhira? Well, Krishna describes in the very next verse, tam titikshasva bharata. Just tolerate. Learn to tolerate. Learn to tolerate means, very simply, don't invest in the dynamics of disturbance. If something is disturbing, don't invest. Try not to invest. Just trying itself, we become dhiras. Just even trying. Okay, we don't even have to try. We just have to consider, hey, should I really get involved in all of this? That itself will make us peaceful, believe it or not. So what to speak of actually not investing our consciousness? So there are two ways of becoming a dhira. One is a theoretical way. Theoretical way is to grit your teeth and tell us, no, no, not this, not this way. This is called mental adjustment. The real way is to do something opposite of disturbance, is to invest in actual peace or shanta or sobriety. The actual peace and shanta and sobriety is, here Prabhupada says, in devotional service. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, a dhira never becomes angry because he's always situated in devotional service. Devotional service. To say it in a nice modern language, loving service is the antidote for disturbance. So one may say, how can I lovingly serve when I'm already disturbed? This is asking, how can a medicine work if I am sick? A medicine is supposed to work for sick people. That is the medicine. What is the answer for, how will this medicine work if I take it when I am sick? Well, take it and see if it works. It works. So loving service is that investment in a higher principle. In higher principle is that loving expression to Krishna. And for that, one needs to cultivate sobriety, dhira. The first stage of dhira development is duty. Because when there is a sense of duty, one will not move from the disturbances. The duty is, come what may, I have to offer my service to Krishna. Come what may, I have to offer my obeisances to the devotees. Come what may, I have to perform the regulative principles of bhakti, yoga. When one does that, one becomes dhira. Prabhupada often gives the example of Lord Shiva for dhira. Because generally when we talk of sense control, the biggest disturbance is sexual disturbance. Because that's the cause for everything else. Maithuna is the cause for ahara, nidra and bhaya. In fact, it is the cause for all of bhaya. All fear and anxiety comes from sex desire. In fact, all problems come from there. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi come from sex desire. True? Because when there is sex, there is janma. And trying too much sex, there is mrityu. As Prabhupada explains, that every person has been given so many breaths in one's life. If you conserve the breathing process, then you can live longer. Suppose a person has 100 breaths, and if he breathes like the yogis, and a month later exhales, so he lives long, because he has long time for 100 breaths. And then Prabhupada says, but a materialist, he is into sex activity, so he loses his life very quickly. Because he expends all his breaths. Mrityu comes from sex. No need to say jara comes from breath, because old age comes very quickly with sexual indulgence. Very quickly it comes. It sets in old age so quickly. Why are the Kumaras young boys? Because they don't indulge in sex. Very simple. Why are all the, called retasa, the semen? When semen is conserved, it gives youthfulness. When semen is expended, it gives jara. And no need to talk about vyadhi. Vyadhi is disease. So much disease because of sexual indulgence. Not only disease in the gross form, syphilis, AIDS, whatever. I mean, those are just the gross, but the disease of the mind. It's actually the disease of the mind that creates disease in the body. Any person whose mind is peaceful will not have any bodily disease. Any person whose mind is disturbed will be full of bodily disease. Because it's on the subtle platform that manifests in the gross platform. Very simple. This is not rocket science. That is why when we say one of the pillars of religion is cleanliness, and what breaks that pillar is illicit sex, is because the cleanliness is internal cleanliness first, which should manifest as external cleanliness. That internal cleanliness means sata, sati. Sat means the platform of truth or platform of purity. Because anything material cannot be pure. We discussed this last week. Sat means pure. Sattva guna, pure. Sat means eternal, because only pure things are eternal, or eternal things are pure. Sati means a person, generally it's a feminine quality, person situated in eternal. Generally the word given for sati is chaste. When one is chaste to Krishna, when one is chaste to dharma. If you are chaste to Krishna, you have to be chaste to dharma, right? I mean, this is... You cannot be chaste to Krishna and be extremely adharmic. I mean, that was really foolish. So if you're chaste to Krishna, it means you're chaste to everything that Krishna has given. So what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita about sex desire in Krishna? Dharma aviruddha kamosmi. I am sex desire not contrary to religious principles. What is the religious principle? No sex. That's the religious principle. Anything against that is irreligious. And to be able to... It's not that one has to have sex because he's married. I mean, that's a wrong idea. Oh, I'm married. That means I should have sex. No. It means that there is concession under guided principle, under the order of Guru and the Vaishnavas, there is concession for it if it is required for Krishna's service. If not, dharma aviruddha kamosmi. So coming back to dhira, is generally when we talk about being a dhira, generally the sex desire is usually the central theme. And Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Shiva as dhira. He says, one time, the demigods and the demons were having a little clash. And so the demigods realized that they need a strong general for their armies. So they considered, who might be a good general? They said, well, someone who's probably born from Lord Shiva will be really very strong, very potent. I said, but Lord Shiva is somewhere in the mountains of Kailash. And after Sati Devi, self-immolated herself, and after Daksha thing, Lord Shiva has become a complete recluse. He is somewhere in the mountains. He's not coming for any home programs, nothing. He's just, by himself. So they decided, but somehow we need a general who should be born from Lord Shiva. What to do? So then the demigods had an idea. Why don't we send Parvati, the most beautiful, young, attractive woman in the entire universe? Said, maybe she can disturb his mind. And they said, we're not sure if that will happen. They said, no, she is very attractive. She's so charming. We can send her. So she was given the service. We need a general. You have very important service. Can you please disturb Lord Shiva from his meditation? Oh, what am I supposed to do? Oh, nothing. He's sitting in the mountains naked, meditating. You just have to touch his genitals. So he gets agitated. All right, that's the order of all the demigods. So she goes and she touches his genitals, completely undisturbed. And the devatas are shocked, like, what to do now? Then they offer profuse prayers, of course. Then Lord Shiva opens his eyes and says, all right, if that's what you want, so be it. This is dharma aviruddha kama. Very specific function. So Prabhupada narrates this story in Kalidasa's composition called, it's called Megha something, I forget. Lord Shiva is described as Dhira. Okay, we don't have to be worried. No one's going to do that to us. Our Dhira is that just when we go for Harinams or when we look at the fantastic prasadam, just that we are controlled. That we can simply control our tongue. In this case, the anger is described. That's the quality, to not get angry. We get irritated and angry for everything. The slightest change of things makes us angry. Why does change make people angry? Because people are attached. They become attached to a certain pattern of things. And as soon as the change happens in that pattern, they become angry because the conditioned soul by nature is lazy. Manda sumanda mati. That manda nature is that why do something differently? Why change? When everything is all right, why change? My sense gratification life is all right. Why change? That makes me angry. This is going on all right. Why change? Why Krishna wants more from me? Why change what I'm doing? This is adhira, disturbed. But a person who can control the urges of the senses. Yesterday, that Prabhu asked the question, what is austerity? So that's the definition was given, austerity. Voluntarily deciding to not pursue the urges of the senses. Because the senses by nature urge us to do something, to look at something, to hear something. They urge us to do so. So the impersonal method is to curb the senses to doing nothing. The real method is to direct the senses to serve Krishna. This is austerity. It takes effort. Because by default, the senses want to go here. And the person who's controlling takes the senses here, like that. Please go to Krishna. Oh, my dear mind, go to Krishna. Senses, please go to Krishna. Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam. A person who can do that is really in control. Like if we're driving a car and the car veers from the highway, from the middle of the road towards the median, the Mayavadi solution is stop the car and don't drive anymore. That's the impersonal way. Just stop the car. Don't drive. Is that practical? No. The real control is to work against that force that veers the car off the highway to keep it right in the middle of the road. That means cannot be lazy. One has to be alert. Looking at the dashboard, there are indicators. How fast, what speed are we going at, what's the engine RPM look like, how much fuel you got, is the tire pressure all right? This is all sadhana bhakti. How much fuel I got in my bhakti fuel tank? How fast, how slow am I going? Is there a speed limit? You know, etc. Looking at dashboard. The dashboard of bhakti is given in the first three verses of Nectar of Instruction. These are the indicators every day. Atyahara, Prayasa, Prajalpa, Niyamagraha, Janasangha, Laulya. How are things going? It's a map. It's called dashboard. When we look at the dashboard, we know what we need to do. Do I need to change gears? Do I need to go slower, faster, etc.? Do I need to hit the gas pedal, hit the brakes? This is the way to become dhira. And Rupa Goswami's promise that one who controls like that becomes, of course, there is this prithivim sashishyat. He becomes a spiritual master of the whole world. But that's a different project. First, let's become spiritual master of our own senses. Right? Here's the word is given. The one who can control himself can control everything else. But one who tries to control other things out there, that somehow the disturbances are there, is such a foolish idea. History is full of persons who've died trying to control the circumstances. The real control is not out there. To say to someone, "You are disturbing me," doesn't work. Because the disturbance is here, not out there. So to say, "I don't like this situation, I don't like that situation, I'm going to adjust this, I'm going to adjust that, I'm going to adjust you, until you listen, I'm going to adjust you," it's not going to work. So Rupa Goswami is telling us, Prabhupada is telling us here, that the Swamis and Goswamis are therefore sometimes addressed as Raja, Maharaja. The Maharaja is that they are able to subdue these citizens of the body, the senses. Because it may be possible that others may listen to us, but the senses will never listen to us. So making their senses tamed is the primary and sole work of a spiritualist. One who can do that has conquered everything. So in the book, Journey of Self-Discovery, Prabhupada writes a very nice statement that one who tries all his life to master the world, to conquer the world, becomes a slave of his senses. And one who tries to master his senses becomes a servant of Krishna. The real mastery is the mind and the six senses. And that's not easy work. So rather than find what is wrong out there, there is enough work to fix the mind and the senses. So, some comments, thoughts? Yes, Prabhu? In NOI, okay.
It seems contradictory to focusing on anartha, as you said, that's not a good idea, or at least I have it in my notes. I don't know if it was Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
Speak
or
a little slowly because I'm not Dira. I can't
a little
catch
time
so
before
fast.
My service. I'll try to be succinct here. We said specifically not to focus on our anarthas.
Yes.
And chanting.
Correct.
Jai Jagannath Prabhu said austerity can help hearing. So that's one thing in and of itself. Another is that in the 10th canto, Krishna himself says that it's not austerity, it's not being brahminical, it's not self-control. All of these things are not as important to me. The real important thing to me is that you please your spiritual master. That's what Krishna says. That faithful devotion to the spiritual master is what will really please him. So it seems to me, someone like myself, who is extraordinarily attached to sense gratification, focusing on NOI as a self-defeating situation.
So what is a beneficial situation?
Focusing on the instructions that have been given.
What instruction does the guru give? Read NOI. Exactly.
That is, I don't know if that's ever been a direct instruction.
I think you're caught into... Let me say a few things. Let's go back to the car analogy. Okay? When one is driving a car, is the reason for driving the car to keep looking at the dashboard? Why does one drive a car? Why do you drive a car? To get somewhere. You have a purpose. You want to go from where we are to some place where we want to be. Correct? So that's the purpose of driving. while we are driving, are we supposed to look at the dashboard or not? Yes, Prabhus, we are supposed to. But we don't drive because we want to look at the dashboard. We're just driving without considering where to turn, where's the highway. We're just busy looking at the dashboard. Whoa, look at that. Zzz, zzz, zzz. But that's not driving either. So while I'm driving, my eyes are focusing on where I want to go. There's the highway, there's other cars and all that. And I have to keep looking at, am I too fast? Am I too slow? Is there gas in the... So we're not anartha conscious. You get the point now? We're not anartha conscious. We're conscious of Krishna, but we are aware of what's going on. To not be aware of what's going on is a little flashing red light that something is wrong in the car. So we're not anartha conscious. Let me finish. We're not anartha conscious per se, but we are aware. Why would Rupa Goswami, the greatest rasa acharya, talk about vacho vega manasa krodha vega? And why would Srila Prabhupada give us that book? There's a purpose. Okay, so there is a reason for driving and all of that. Now, that verse that you quoted from 10th canto, I'm sorry to say, has been wrongly expressed. It does not mean that austerity has no place. It does not mean that sense control has no place. What it means is that only austerity, only sense control, devoid of loving sentiments towards Krishna, will not give the complete fruit. It doesn't mean that austerity, sense control are not important. There is no devotee of Krishna who's devoid of any of those. There's no devotee like that. You will now quote Pundarika Vidyanidhi, someone... Okay, thank you. Don't do that.
I have an honest... I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of scriptural examples. They're perfected souls, so maybe it's not
You
applicable.
Have scriptural examples of perfected Jadabhart, souls who don't have sense control?
Jadabhart.
Jadabhart doesn't have sense control?
Was he conscious of... I thought he acted like...
Was he conscious? What do you think? He was so fully self-realized.
That he was...
Is there any expression of Jadabharat binging on gulab jamuns?
Or not. I mean, those are two extremes.
Or not is complete sense control. Can we try that?
So fasting is sense control and binging is not?
No. That's not the point.
Well, then I'm really...
So I'm asking for a scriptural example of one devotee of Krishna who does not have sense control. If it is Jadabharat, the answer is wrong. Try another one.
Then I have a misunderstanding of what's...
You have an idea of a devotee of Krishna who doesn't have sense control? Oh. Who? Bhima. Oh, fantastic. That's a very good example. Thank you. Vrikodara. He's glorified as Vrik. In fact, Krishna calls him Vrikodara. Glorified eater. Herculean tasks. And for Bhima, when Bahulashva was praying, he came. There is no devotee of Krishna that does not have sense control. There is no devotee. There is variety in Krishna's devotees. But there's no devotee without sense control.
And you're using the phrase sense control, meaning that someone...
I'm using the sloka that you quoted. That no sense control... Krishna says no sense control, no this, only service to Guru.
I wasn't saying at the exclusion of... I wonder this. If someone was in their car and they just decided, you know what? I'm not going to stop to fill up gas. If the tire pops, I'll get out and walk. If my leg starts bleeding, I'll crawl. And if I don't have any more energy, I'll die and I'll take another body.
And that person is not a dhira.
But does that mean that they won't get back to Krishna if they're completely
they
focusing
will not.
On him?
Yes, they will not.
Why is that?
Because there's no dependence on Krishna. Krishna has given the car. Take care of the car. That is called dependence on Krishna. Say it differently. Bhakti means be responsible. That's bhakti. Be responsible. I will say whatever I like. If someone slaps me on the face because I was offensive, no problem. I will spit out as much, whatever, it doesn't matter. This is not bhakti. Bhakti means be responsible. Right. Correct. Lord Chaitanya said, what are you doing? Be responsible. This body is not yours. This body is mine. Ramanujacharya chastised Kuresha. When the Lord appeared and said, Kuresha, I'm going to give you your eyes back. No, no, I don't want my eyes back. You just forgive the fellow who popped my eyes out. But Ramanujacharya chastised him. Oh, you're thinking this is your body. This body belongs to Guru. Take care of it nicely. Yes, sir, whatever you say. Yeah, absolutely. Because he can digest it. He's being responsible. He can digest clay, so he can eat clay. Very simple, right? He can digest it. So, therefore, we should hear carefully. Part of dhira is to not be disturbed by great personalities' activities also. That is their activity, this is not my activity. My responsibility is different. If by Krishna's grace we are brought on the same platform as Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, which in about 300 million lifetimes, perhaps, maybe I can eat sand. But that's not my responsibility right now. My responsibility right now is to eat three times a day and be happy. Right? Can you speak into a mic, please, so that the audience
maybe
can benefit?
Some of the confusion is arising from the definition and parameter of sense control. What
Correct.
Does sense control mean to different people in different places? And one aspect is the consciousness behind it. So exploring that aspect of it could clarify.
That is why it is called Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, is actual sense control. And if it's in Rishikesha Seva, one has to eat something, one will eat something. In one Rishikesha Seva, one should not eat something, one will not eat something. That is called sense control. Because the word control, here's what's the fundamental issue. We are operating on stereotypes. We are operating on habits. When we hear the word control, what emotions does it bring to us? What pictures does it bring when we say the word control? Oppression, difficult, like this. Because that's what we are habituated to, right? For the past 2 days, what Jai Jagannath Prabhu has been speaking on, conceptions and perceptions lead to, first conception, perception, then activity. So I'm just holding on to the same theme. We have certain conceptions of certain words and certain themes, and we operate on that. Bhakti process is to leave that and accept the conception of what the Guru is talking about, what Shastra is talking about. This is the first principle of Pranipata. When you say Pariprashnena Sevaya, Pranipat means I keep my conceptions aside and I accept the conceptions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. This is called submission. A bhakta who doesn't do that is not submissive, because he may listen to the Guru, nice class, but has the same conceptions. This is not submissive. So yes, what is sense control needs to be fully understood or carefully understood. Yaya Prabhu? Yaya Sammohito Ji. Atmanam Trigunatmakam. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Briefly, I was just going to say the quote you quoted in the beginning, Raga Dvesha Vimuktaish Cha, in the beginning. That reminded me of...
Yeah, it's working.
Okay. That reminded me of, in that verse, I think Krishna says, one who controls his senses is able to obtain a complete mercy of the Lord. So that reminded me of about the rich's answer. And you mentioned... also, Lord Shiva, is it possible how he wasn't agitated sexually But that brings to mind the passing of Bhrigu Muni, who tested all three guna avatars to see who has the qualities of goodness in full. So Shiva became upset when Bhrigu Muni insulted him. So is it possible for the Lord, who is naturally situated in the hearts of everyone and not Shiva or Brahma, to cause, you know, great sages whose fundamental lesson of knowledge is to not desire respect for themselves, is it possible for the Lord to, I guess, make them angry to teach us certain lessons, or would they forget certain knowledge?
But not only is it possible, that is the principle. It is that whenever, this is the principle that as devotees it should be clear, that whenever there is an aberration, whenever in the lives of great persons something seems out of place, that is definitely Krishna's inspiration. There is, in whole of Lord Shiva's life, there is no such frivolous disturbances, except when Bhrigu Muni kicked and when Mohini Murthy came. This is a considered trend. But then there is a particular purpose of the Lord. Arjuna is very pakka devotee, but gets bewildered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It's Krishna's inspiration. Parikshit Maharaj is so pure and chaste, he's called Mahabhagavata, and he becomes angry at that rishi and puts a snake around his neck. Krishna's inspiration. Like that. Whenever in the lives of pure devotees things seem out of place, that is Krishna's inspiration. There is a higher purpose for it. Parashara Muni, out there in the middle somewhere on an island, meets Satyavati, and Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa is born. This is not, hey, he had got attracted to a fisherwoman. This is just not Parashara Muni. You understand that? Because part of being a fisherwoman is that she has a stench around her. But through her, Vyasadeva is born, and he gives her a blessing. You'll be so fragrant that even the greatest of kings will be attracted to you. There's a purpose, there's a higher order that these great sages know. In this time, place and circumstance, this is Krishna's will, and this is what needs to happen. If it's fisherwoman, great. Something else, someone else, great. But that's the order of Krishna. These are great personalities. Yes.
Thank you. So for us, it's usually not Krishna's inspiration, it's the most material nature, pretty much.
We shouldn't say mostly, we should say always. When such things happen, always. Always. One of my favorite stories, I'm sorry to take this time, it's one of my favorite stories, is when a devotee went to the spiritual master and said, oh, I want to be in this situation of life. So the spiritual master said, why? Oh, because I think it is arranged by Krishna. So the spiritual master asked, how do you know it's arranged by Krishna? Well, he said, well, I was not looking for this situation. This situation just happened to come about. So it's arranged by Krishna. So the spiritual master told the devotee, Haridas Thakur was not looking for the prostitute. She happened to come to his door. He didn't say, yay, Krishna, thank you. The arrangement was, so when we say arrangement of Krishna, the real understanding is that Krishna arranges circumstances so we take his shelter. That's the arrangement, not that we go with the circumstance. Someone comes and yells at us, or we yell at someone and we say, this is Krishna's arrangement, I had to yell at that person. No, that's not arrangement. Dhira, I'm sticking to the theme. Dhira is Krishna arranges disturbances just to see, yeah, how will you act? So, someone passes the cake to someone else. We're talking about it, so we're remembering. I was there at the table at that time, so I know. Yeah, that's why I'm bringing it up.
And Patrak joked about it recently, like a few weeks ago, and then he actually said, didn't hear you. Now I actually believe on like your star arrangement. 3 years later.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Thank you for that example of Vrikodara, Mataji. That was perfect. Bhima's example would be fantastic. Actually, there's a story of Bhima going to kill Bakasura. Anyway, not today. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. I like stories, so. I only understand stories. I don't understand philosophy.